Now, Peter Martin, our everyday economist, you're staying with us for a moment because we're going to another matter now, the intergenerational report.
My feet carry me there, away from...
You're listening to Life Matters. Cassie McCullough with you this morning. Now, prepare to fall off your chair. That's what the Treasurer says you'll do tomorrow when you look at some of the graphs in his intergenerational report. 5 years in the making, it'll be Australia's fourth report on funding the future. It tells us how the government's finances will be travelling in 40 years' time, and it'll be probably accompanied by calls for higher taxes and less generous government spending. What exactly can we expect? With us still is everyday economist Peter Martin. He's the economics editor for The Age. Now, Peter, before we put our 40-year goggles on, tell us, you know, first things first, what is an intergenerational report?
Well, it actually looks at just the issue we've just been talking about. It looks at what's going to happen to government spending over 40 years. There have been three of them so far. And health is the chief driver. A lot of people think it's ageing, and ageing is important because a greater proportion of the population needs to be looked after. But it's actually health, and health unrelated to ageing, which is the biggest driver. We want, what's been left out of the health discussion we just had is that we want better health care. We really do. And we want more of it. And we want the more expensive things, which are now available. So they project forward those trends. They projected them forward in the first intergenerational report. Peter Costello put it out in 2002, projected forward to 2042. He said the deficit was going to be 5% of GDP. We'd need to raise an extra 5% in taxes. Now, since then, we've had two more intergenerational reports. They've both revised that figure down, partly because health expenditure hasn't been growing as much as thought, partly because the population's been growing more, we've been more productive. They've revised that figure down. It's now about 2.5%. I don't know what it'll be tomorrow, but that's what it's really about.
Mm. All right. Well, goggles on. Take us to 2055.
Yeah, that's what it'll be, 2055. You know, my oldest daughter will be approaching 65 then. Oh, I'm shocked.
Well, she'll be about 20 years off retirement then.
By then. This is the point. The problem is, if we look at the figures from the last intergenerational report, this is the starkest figure, in a way the only one you need to remember. Or I should say first, the tax will take care of itself. The income by then, according to the last one, will be 80% higher. So, yeah, we can afford an extra 5% of GDP. They say they don't want to put up taxes, but we'll willingly pay more taxes for better health care, especially as we're older. The real problem is the demographics. At the moment, we have roughly two Australians of traditional working age, 16 to 65, for each one person of non-working age that's very young or 65 plus, right? That's the ratio at the moment. In 40 years, that should fall to 1.5. That's a dramatic fall. We will have far fewer workers or people of working age available to service those people who need work done, you know, need their beds changed in old folks' homes or... He needs services provided. Now, how we're going to get out of that, that's the issue that the report will look at. And I think, actually, you just provided one of the answers, one of the ways.
Oh, no.
Well, you did. I mean, you said, well, we'll be working longer, and this is already happening. So that ratio of people 16 to 65 will lengthen now over time to 67 and beyond that to 70. So... that's already going to happen. And what we're already seeing, and one of the reasons why each intergenerational report has been less scary than the one before, we're seeing far more over 65s working, a huge increase in the proportion of over 65s working. A lot of these problems solve themselves. It's not to say they're not serious, but the future, as I wrote in the paper yesterday, I said... if you see the word time bomb, turn the page. Things are problems have a way of solving themselves, particularly problems, and climate change might be an exception, but particularly these sort of financial problems of which we've got a lot of notice.
So the increase in population is going to absorb a lot of the costs that we're expecting.
Well, with the increase in population, it'll mean more workers available. We're getting more skilled workers. The population is increasing. The immigration is increasing mainly from skilled workers. That's increasing productivity. Think about the future. What I mentioned, 1.5 Australians of working age to support each Australian of dependent age. That might sound scary to you given where we're starting from, which is 2. But you don't have to go back far. You go back, in fact, to the 1960s when the ratio was just that. It was 1.6. Now, the 1960s, I don't remember as being an impossibly difficult time to live in, and things are much better than they were then. So we've 1.5 workers, but we've got a whole lot better technology than we had in the 1960s. Radio programs are made with fewer people, you know?
Yes, but we also had a lot more of the population staying at home and being able to care for people who aren't participating in the workforce, either children or elderly people or disabled, unwell people.
And on the other hand, we have a lot more people now at work caring for those people. So instead of being at home caring for 2 children, they might be, to use a stereotypical example, working in a nursing home caring for 10. So we don't have telephone exchanges anymore, you know, with masses of people connecting wires. So we really should be able to deal with this problem. There's a US economist, Herbert Stein. He was an advisor to Nixon and Ford. He's very famous for all sorts of reasons. But one of them is Stein's law, which he came up with. He was talking about the balance of payments, but it applies just as much to the cost of the aging population. He said, if something cannot go on forever, it will stop. And by that, he means that their initial, in the first intergenerational report, their first projection said that the cost of medicine was increasing at such a rate that when extrapolated would eventually take up all of GDP. Now, that's not going to happen. Problems have a way of solving themselves. Either people use more technology, so they need fewer workers, or more workers are called forth, or people accept, perhaps, healthcare that's not as good as they want, or they pay more taxes, which I think is much more likely. My message about tomorrow's report is, don't be scared. I think they're trying to scare us.
Okay, so you're saying it's going to be a little politicised, I'm gathering.
We know it's going to be politicised because they've made the point that this is a government document, not a Treasury document. They've been tossing it backwards and forwards between ministers. And apparently there's a whole chapter in about how bad Labor's approach was. So it'll be politicised.
Right. It was actually delayed, the release. Do we know why that was?
They were worried about the immigration projections in it. That's what we think. They projected quite a large Australian population in 40 years' time, and they were asked in Parliament yesterday, has the government accepted the advice of the Immigration Department on population projections? And they didn't answer the question. They may have toned those down a bit. The more you tone down immigration, the worse the finances look, and that may be another reason for doing it.
Okay, so in summary then, this report sort of runs counter to the future that we hear a lot about governments drowning in debt. And
It'll show that governments are drowning in debt, but big deficits in the future. Whether that's realistic or not is another question. As I said, okay, worst case, we have to pay an extra 5% of our GDP in tax in order to get the better health and aged care that we'll want. And bear in mind that by the middle of the century, a third of the voters will be over 65. So we will want it, and we'll be able to make sure that we want it. Worst case, would we do that? Well, if our incomes have gone up 80% in real terms, probably we would. And that worst case, as I said, that was the worst case in the first intergenerational report, and it's been toned down ever since. My key message is don't be frightened. They're trying to frighten you. Remember, Barry Jones chaired a committee on the ageing of Australia a long time ago, and he wrote in his report that he thought it was a little Orwellian the question, can we afford an ageing population? He thought that was a very frightening population, a frightening question, because it invited consideration of the alternative. If we couldn't afford
what if
an
we
agent.
Can't?
my message is yes. Don't be worried.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we'll take our 2055 goggles off and get ready to put our brave but cynical ones on, or skeptical perhaps, tomorrow when that intergenerational report is released at noon Eastern Daylight Time. Peter Martin, thank you once again.
Pleasure.
Peter Martin is the economics editor of The Age, and he joins us on Life Matters for Everyday Economics.